The first reading for All Saints' Day is taken from the seventh chapter of Daniel. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all of this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of that matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth. But the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from the first chapter of Ephesians. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and also defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say, listen, love your enemies, and do good for those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. And if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. So I have been very surprised in my years of parish ministry to learn that several of the most meaningful and powerful and even happy moments in my life have taken place in the setting of a hospital. I'm not talking about the times that I've gone to the hospital for the birth of a child, but rather having gone to the hospital in the midst of sickness and death. When speaking of hospitals, I think it's fair for all of us to say that when we hear of a family member or a friend going to the hospital, anxiety begins to reveal its ugly head. Our hospitals smell different. Hospitals are places with loud beeping noises. People are not admitted ever to the hospital to catch up on their beauty sleep. And it is both striking and ironic to me that hospital is a place where new life emerges, but also death hovers. It is a place of very strange extremes, and I have always had very mixed feelings about being there. Never really ever enjoyed walking into the doors of a hospital, but it has been my experience that some of the most powerful moments happen within those walls, in those loud and busy places of life and death. For today is All Saints Sunday, and for well over 1,000 years, we have done something unusual, that we have celebrated this day as a day of remembrance for those who have died in Christ Jesus. And today in this community, we remember 37 people who have died this past year, people that you have loved and that you continue also to love. Your loved one, despite your tears and your hurt, gathered with the Lord and gathers with all the saints and is at peace. But in search for our very own peace, as we are left to walk this journey of faith without them, we come here today to find encouragement and truth from our gospel lesson today from Luke. For these words spoken by Jesus brings about God's reign into this world, and therefore these words provide the means to live into God's kingdom. But still, with all of that said, these words do not make any sense at all. For how can we be poor and hungry and weeping and sick and suffering and be blessed? Do you today in your continued mourning and loss today feel blessed? As logical and reasonable people that are living in this world, I think that we should honestly acknowledge the words that Jesus speaks today are crazy. Our present day understanding of what it means to be blessed does not match up with what Jesus has told us to be blessed. I've often been so frustrated with this gospel lesson because it's very hard to see any possible blessing in being poor or hungry or mourning. Those times that we have mourned this past year over the death of our loved ones, a spouse of over 50 years or a husband or a father or the tragic death of a young child, how would you respond in that moment if someone told you that you are blessed? Hearing lessons such as this one read throughout the church year, I believe at times we have become immune to the implications of these messages and therefore afraid to ask these questions of Jesus. And yet, we are asked to sit here today in this house of God and listen to these words that stand so opposite from what our understanding of blessed is. Around 12 years ago, I was at the bedside of a woman named Mary. Mary had a husband and three teenage children who were certainly concerned about their mother's death. Mary was diagnosed years before into the hospital with breast cancer, but this last year of her life had been very difficult. Her doctor was trying to do everything possible, of course, to save her, but her health kept declining rapidly. Her husband was getting worried and asking doctors for second and third and fourth opinions, and it was certainly a great time of struggle and anguish. I visited frequently, and during the visits with the family, I prayed with them long and hard for a cure. I felt helpless and frustrated that that cure did not come. But then one day, several weeks into the struggle, she called me to meet with her privately, and as I sat down, she looked right at me with this big smile on her face, and she told me very directly that she was going to die. It was in that holy moment, as I know that many of you have had as well, that I and you mentally put down all of those theology books and pastoral care manuals, and we realize that all of our most trusting and honest and passionate faith comes to bear in the moments of our greatest need. I ask you today, as we think about this gospel lesson, was Mary blessed in that moment? See, for Mary and for all of us, the moral teachings of Jesus are important. They are wonderful. But what is most important for us and for our faith is understanding that Jesus is really who he says he is. What of Jesus' teachings are certainly brilliant and profound, but without understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, those moral teachings are worthless as we lay in our hospital beds. So only when we receive the gospel in our times of need and our lowest moment in our losses does that give any meaning to these teachings and promises. The faith that Mary shared with me in those most holy and honest moments of faith, of truly knowing that Jesus was really who he said he was, and that the promises that she had heard throughout her lifetime were really for her. On this All Saints Sunday, as a community of Lutheran World Church, we light, of course, the Paschal candle and the candles in memory of those people who have gone before us. Today, we especially remember your loved one, that person who formed you and loved you into the person that you are today. And although they are no longer with you and you will continue to grieve deeply and your lives will never be the same without them, we know that they are beloved children of God who have been claimed by the waters of baptism, and your separation from their love will not be forever. And it is in this receiving today of God's Son that we are as well the crucified saints, robed in white, living in a world, humbled and loved, as we are the saints of God, and we are blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.